You're listening to Eurofolkradio.com, a voice for European people worldwide. Psalm number 2, concerning the Anointed One. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the land set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against His Anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the sky shall laugh. Yahweh shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Yahweh has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the nations for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the land for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 354th word for word show. We are in the book of Jasher, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright, or scroll of the upright. It is not a person's name. It's a title for the book. We are going to be starting in chapter 59 today. And we'll see how far we get. A lot of this chapter here is genealogy, you know, the line of descent of the sons of Israel and all their children. And in chapter 59, Yosef passes away. And then we're going to get into
chapter 60. It has 31 verses, and we'll probably get into 61 that has 25 verses. So we'll see how far we get. There's not going to be a lot of comment today because it's just facts and people's names, etc., etc. Yeah, I had to clear a little frog. It's about 10:30 the night before. Everything seems to be quiet in the building, unless they commence to fighting. So I'm going to go ahead with the recording here. This is chapter 59. Oh, let me give me my website while I have the time. You can get all my word-for-word shows, my wake-up call shows, and information on how to get the Torah. It is https, as in sugar, /www.pastor-steve.com. It's got everything on there. Not interactive, you can't troll, so I don't have time to babysit. It's a study site for downloading and such. I noticed my mic was a little hot. I want to back that off while I'm able here. I don't want to get in the recording and there we are. Have too high a peak. So let's get started in here. Verse 1 of chapter 59. And these are the names of the sons of Israel who dwelt in Mitzrayim, who had come with Yaakov. All the sons of Yaakov came into Mitzrayim, every man with his household. Verse 2. The children of Leah were Reuben, Shimeon, Levi, Yehuda, Issachar, and Zebulun, and their sister Dinah. Verse 3. And the sons of Rachel were Yosef and Binyamin. Verse 4. And the sons of Zilpah, the handmaid of Leah, were Gad and Asher. It's an ah instead of an ah. It's G-A-D, not God, like a little E Elohim. Okay, verse 5. And the sons of Bilhah, the handmaid of Rachel, were Dan and Naphtali. Verse 6. And these were their offspring that were born unto them in the land of Canaan before they came unto Mitzrayim with their father Yaakov. Verse 7. The sons of Reuben, Hanok, Palu, Hetzron, and Carmi. Verse 8. And the sons of Shimeon were Yemuel, Yamin, Ohad, Yakin, Zokar, and Shaul, the son of the Canaanitish woman. He was not a pureblood. Verse 9. And the children of Levi, Gershon, Kehath, and Merari. And their sister, Jochebed, who was born unto them in their going down to Mitzrayim. She was born on the trip. Verse 10. And the sons of Yehuda, Er, Onan, Shelach, Peretz, and Zarach. verse 11. And Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan, and the sons of Perez, he was the firstborn, were Hezron and Chamul. Verse 12. And the sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Yob, and Shomron. Verse 13. And the sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Yachliel. And the son of Dan was Cushim. And the sons of Naphtali, Yachzeel, Guni, Yetzer, and Shilam. And the sons of Gad were Ziphion, Chagi, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Arodi, and Areli. Verse 16. And the children of Asher were Yimna, Yishwa, Yishwi, Bariah, and their sister Serach. And the sons of Bariah, Heber and Malkiel. Verse 17. And the sons of Binyamin, Bela, Beker, Ashbel, Gera, Naaman, Aki, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ord. Verse 18. And the sons of Yosef that were born to him in Mitzrayim, Manasseh and Ephraim. 19. And all the souls, or the beings, it's nephesh, that went forth from the loins of Yaakov were 70 beings. These are they who came with Yaakov, their father, unto Mitzrayim to dwell there. And Yosef and all his brethren dwelt securely in Mitzrayim, and they ate of the best of Mitzrayim all the days of the life of Yosef. Okay. Verse 20. And Yosef lived in the land of Mitzrayim 93 years. And Yosef reigned over all Mitzrayim 80 years. Verse 21. And when the days of Yosef drew nigh that he should die, he sent and called for his brethren and all his father's household, and they all came together and sat before him. And Yosef said unto his brethren and unto the whole of his father's household, Behold, I die. And Yah will surely visit you and bring you up from this land to the land which he swore to your forefathers to give unto them. And it shall be when Yah shall visit you to bring you up from here to the land of your forefathers, bring up my bones with you from here. In other words, he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Verse 24. And Yosef made the sons of Israel to swear for their seed after them, saying, Yah will surely visit you, and you shall bring up my bones with you from here. Now, this is verse 25. And it came to pass after this that Yosef died in that year, the 71st year of the Israelites going down to Mitzrayim. 71 years. Verse 26, and you can reference Genesis chapter 50, verse 26. And Yosef was 110 years old when he died in the land of Mitzrayim. And all his brethren and all his servants rose up, and they embalmed Yosef, as was their custom. And his brethren and all Mitzrayim mourned over him for 70 days. He was a great man and saved all those people, because Yahweh gave that to him to do. And Yahweh blessed him. Verse 27. And they put Yosef in a coffin filled with spices and all sorts of perfume. And they buried him by the side of the river, that is Sychar. And his sons and all his brethren and the whole of his father's household made a 7 days mourning for him. Okay, that was a temporary resting place. They were going to leave later, much later, under Moshe, and they took him with them. They knew where he was buried. They dug up the coffin, which was very sound, and they took him with them in the days of Moshe, on down the road. Verse 28 of chapter 59. And it came to pass after the death of Yosef, all the Mitzrayim began in those days to rule over the children of Israel. And Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, who reigned in his father's stead, took all the laws of Mitzrayim and conducted the whole government of Mitzrayim under his counsel, and he reigned securely over his people. New ruler, okay, new ruler, but not the Hyksos that would come later and wouldn't remember Yosef. This guy was a Mitzri, was an Egyptian, and he knew Yosef and very much revered, okay. Here we are in chapter 60, verse 1. And when the year came round, being the 72nd year from the Israelites going down to Mitzrayim, after the death of Yosef, Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, he was a captive there, fled from Mitzrayim, he and his men, and they went away. This is the Edomites again, okay, rearing their ugly head. Verse 2, and he came to Africa, which is Dinhaba, to Angeas, king of Africa. And Angeas received them with great honor. And he made Zepho the captain of his host. He put him over his army. Oh boy. Verse 3. And Zepho found favor in the sight of Angeas, in the sight of his people. And Zepho was captain of the host to Angeas, king of Africa, for many days. Here we go again with the Edomite. This is the nature of the Edomites. Verse 4 of chapter 60. And Zepho enticed Angeas, king of Africa, to collect all his army to go and fight with the Mitzrayim and with the sons of Yaakov, and to avenge of them the cause of his brethren. They hated Israel. There's your Edomites right there. But, here's verse 5. But Angeas would not listen to Zepho to do this thing, for Angeas knew the strength of the sons of Jacob and what they had done to his army in their warfare with the children of Esau. He remembered all that. Verse 6. And Zepho was in those days very great in the sight of Angeas and in the sight of all his people, and he continually enticed them to make war against Mitzrayim, but they would not. Verse 7. And it came to pass in those days there was in the land of Chittim a man in the city of Puzimna, whose name was Uzu. And he became degenerately defied by the children of Chittim. I think they wanted to put defiled. Okay. I think that should be defiled. And the man died and had no son, only one daughter whose name was Yania. Verse 8. And the damsel was exceedingly beautiful, comely and intelligent. There was none seen like her, like unto her, for beauty and wisdom through the land. Verse 9. And the people of Angeas, king of Africa, saw her, and they came and praised her unto him. And Angeas sent to the children of Chittim, and he requested to take her unto himself for a wife. And the people of Chittim consented to give her unto him for a wife. Verse 10. And when the messengers of Angeas were going forth from the land of Chittim to take their journey, behold, the messengers of Turnus, king of Bibentu, came unto Chittim. For Turnus, king of Bibentu, also sent his messengers to request Yania for him to take unto himself for a wife. For all his men had also praised her to him, therefore he sent all his servants unto her. Verse 11. And the servants of Turnus came to Chittim, and they asked for Yania to be taken unto Turnus, their king, for a wife. And the people of Chittim said unto them, we cannot give her, because Angeas, king of Africa, desired her to take her unto him for a wife before you came, and that we should give her unto him. And now we cannot do this thing to deprive Angeas of the damsel in order to give her unto Turnus. Verse 13. For we are greatly afraid of Angeas, lest he come in battle against us and destroy us, and Turnus, your master, will not be able to deliver us from his hand. Verse 14. And when the messengers of Turnus heard all the words of the children of Chittim, they turned back to their master and told him all the words of the children of Chittim. Verse 15. And the children of Chittim sent a memorial to Angeas, saying, Behold, Turnus has sent for Yania to take her unto him for a wife, and thus we answered him, and we heard that he has collected his whole army to go to war against you, and he intends to pass by the road of Sardunia to fight against your brother Lucus, and after that he will come to fight against you. So they liked Angeas, so they ratted out Turnus. Verse 16. And Angeas heard the words of the children of Chittim, which they sent to him in the record, and his anger was kindled, and he rose up and assembled his whole army, and came through the islands of the sea, the road to Sardunia, unto his brother Lucus, king of Sardunia. Verse 17. And Niblos, son of Lucus, heard that his uncle Angeas was coming, and he went out to meet him with a heavy army. And he kissed him and embraced him, and Niblos said unto Angeas, when you asked my father after his welfare, when I shall go with thee to fight with Turnus, ask of him to make me captain of his host. And Angeas did so, and he came unto his brother, and his brother came to meet him, and he asked him after his welfare. In other words, how are you? What's going on, brother? Verse 18. And Angeas asked his brother Lucus after his welfare, and to make his son Niblos captain of his host. Pardon me. And Lucus did so, and Angeas and his brother Lucus rose up, and they went toward Turnus to battle, and there was with them a great army and a heavy people. Let me get a little bit of this coffee. Oh, yeah. Verse 19. And he came in ships, and they came into the province of Ashtarash. And behold, Turnus came toward them, for he went forth to Sardunia, and intended to destroy it, and afterwards to pass on from there to Angeas to fight with him. Verse 20. And Angeas and Lucus, his brother, met Turnus in the valley of Canopia, and the battle was strong and mighty between them in that place. Verse 21. And the battle was severe upon Lucus, king of Sardunia, and all his army fell, and Niblos, his son, fell also in that battle. Verse 22. And his uncle Angeas commanded his servants, and they made a golden coffin for Niblos, and they put him into it. And Angeas again waged battle toward Turnus, and Angeas was stronger than he, and he slew him. And he smote all his people with the edge of the sword, and Angeas avenged the cause of Niblos, his brother's son. He had killed his nephew, and he was angry, and the cause of the army of his brother Lucus. Verse 23. And when Turnus died, the hands of those that survived the battle became weak, and they fled from before Angeas and Lucus, his brother. Verse 24. And Angeas and his brother Lucas pursued them unto the high road, which is between Alphanu and Roma. And they slew the whole army of Turnus with the edge of the sword. Verse 25. And Lucas, king of Sardunia, commanded his servants that they should make a coffin of brass and that they should place therein the body of his son Niblos. And they buried him in that place. Verse 26. And they built upon it a high tower there upon the high road, and they called its name after the name of Niblos unto this day. And they also buried Turnus, king of Bibentu, there in that place with Niblos. Verse 27. And behold, upon the high road between Alphanu and Roma, the grave of Niblos is on one side, and the grave of Turnus on the other, and a pavement between them unto this day. Verse 28. And when Niblos was buried, Lucus his father returned with his army to his land Sardunia, and Angeas, his brother, king of Africa, went with his people unto the city of Bibentu, that is the city of Turnus. Now, he's not talking about the whole continent of Africa. Africa was the name of a country and a city, not the whole continent. Verse 29. And the inhabitants of Bibentu heard of his fame, and they were greatly afraid of him. And they went forth to meet him with weeping and supplication. And the inhabitants of Bibentu entreated of Angeas not to slay them nor destroy their city. And he did so. For Bibentu was in those days reckoned as one of the cities of the children of Chittim. Therefore, he did not destroy the city. Verse 30. But from that day forward, the troops of the king of Africa would go to Chittim to spoil and plunder it. And whenever they went, Zepho, the captain of the host of Angeas, would go with them. Verse 31. And it was after this that Angeas turned with his army, and they came to the city of Puzimna, and Angeas took there Yania, the daughter of Uzu, for a wife, and brought her unto his city, unto Africa. That was the name of the city. And the small country. They weren't huge countries like the United States. They were small regencies. And that ends chapter 60. And I have 25 verses in chapter 61. Let's see if we can get this one. This is all just this history and a lot of background that will be needed for further studies. And it's interesting. You don't hear this in the King James. Verse 1 of chapter 61. And it came to pass at that time, Parao, king of Mizraim, commanded all his people to make for him a strong palace in Mizraim. Verse 2. And he also commanded the sons of Jacob to assist the Mitzri in the building, and the Mitzri made a beautiful and elegant palace for a royal habitation, and he dwelt therein and renewed his government and he reigns securely. Okay? Verse 3. Now, the sons of Jacob are going to start dropping off. Okay? They're getting mighty old. Verse 3. And Zebulun, the son of Jacob, died in that year. That is in the 72nd year of going down of the Israeli to Mitzrayim. And Zebulun died 114 years old. Yeah. And was put into a coffin and given into the hands of his children. Verse 4. And in the 75th year, 3 years later, died his brother Shimeon. He was 120 years old at his death. Pardon me, I couldn't catch that. And he was also put into a coffin and given into the hands of his children. Let me get a drink of coffee here. Now here's Zepho again. Verse 5. And Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, captain of the host to Angeas, king of Dinhaba, was still daily enticing Angeas to prepare for battle to fight with the sons of Jacob in Mitzrayim. And Angeas was unwilling to do this thing, for his servants had related to him all the might of the sons of Jacob, what they had done to them in their battle with the children of Esau. Verse 6. And Zepho was in those days daily enticing Angeas to fight with the sons of Jacob in those days. Verse 7. And after some time, Angeas hearkened to the words of Zepho and consented to him to fight with the sons of Jacob in Mitzrayim. And Angeas got all his people in order, a people numerous as the sand which is upon the seashore. And he formed his resolution to go to Mitzrayim to battle. Now listen to this. Here's more history. You need to hear this. Verse 8. And amongst the servants of Angeas was a youth 15 years old. Balaam, the son of Beor, that's Balaam, remember, was his name, and the youth was very wise and understood the art of witchcraft. He was a sorcerer. Verse 9. And Angeas said unto Balaam, conjure for us, I pray thee, with the witchcraft, that we may know who will prevail in this battle to which we are now proceeding. Verse 10. And Balaam ordered that they should bring him wax, and he made thereof the likenesses of chariots and horsemen, representing the army of Angeas and the army of Mitzrayim. And he put them in the cunningly prepared waters that he had for that purpose. And he took in his hand the boughs of myrtle trees, and he exercised his cunning, and he joined them over the water. And there appeared unto him in the water the resembling images of the host of Angeas falling before the resembling images of the Mizraim and the sons of Jacob. Verse 11. And Balaam told this thing to Angeas, and Angeas despaired and did not arm himself to go down to Mitzrayim to battle, and he remained in his city. Verse 12. And when Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, saw that Angeas despairs of going forth to battle with the Mitzrayim, Zepho fled from Angeas from Africa and he went and came unto Chittim. Went to a different country. Verse 13. And all the people of Chittim received him with great honor, and they hired him to fight their battles all the days. And Zepho became exceedingly rich in those days, and the troops of the king of Africa still spread themselves in those days. And the children of Chittim assembled and went to Mount Cuptizia on account of the troops of Angeas, king of Africa, who were advancing upon them. Verse 14. And it was one day that Zepho lost a young heifer, and he went to seek it. And he heard it lowing round about the mountain, you know, going moo. Verse 15. And Zepho went, and he saw, and behold, there was a large cave at the bottom of the mountain. And there was a great stone there at the entrance of the cage, of the cave. And Zepho split the stone, and he came into the cave, and he looked, and behold, a large animal was devouring the ox. It got his heifer, okay? From the middle upward, it resembled a man, and from the middle downward, it resembled an animal. And Zepho rose up against the animal and slew it with his sword. Verse 16. And the inhabitants of Chittim heard of this thing, and they rejoiced exceedingly, and they said, what shall we do unto this man who has slain this animal that devoured our cattle? One of those hybrid creatures left over from the days of Noah. Who knows, you know? Verse 17. And they all assembled to consecrate one day in the year to him. And they called the name thereof Zepho after his name. And they brought unto him drink offerings year after year upon that day. And they brought unto him gifts. In other words, they deified him. Verse 18. At that time, Yaniah, the daughter of Uzu, wife of King Angeas, became ill, and her illness was heavily felt by Angeas and his officers. And Angeas said unto his wise men, what shall I do to Yania, and how shall I heal her illness? He was really concerned. He really loved his wife. And his wise men said unto him, because the air of our country is not like the air of the land of Chittim, and our water is not like their water, therefore from this has the queen become ill. Verse 19, for through the change of air and water she became ill, and also because in her country she drank only the water which came from Perma, which her ancestor had brought up with bridges. Verse 20. And Angeas commanded his servants, and they brought unto him in vessels the waters of Perma belonging to Chittim, and they weighed those waters with all the waters of the land of Africa. And they found those waters lighter than the waters of Africa. Different chemical makeup of those waters. And her constitution was used to the other waters. Okay. Verse 21. And Angeas saw this thing, and he commanded all his officers to assemble the hewers of stones in thousands and tens of thousands, and a huge stone without number. And the builders came, and they built an exceedingly strong bridge. And they conveyed the spring of water from the land of Chittim unto Africa. And those waters were for Yania the queen and for all her concerns to drink from and to bake, wash, and bathe therewith, and also to water all the seed from which food can be obtained and all the fruit of the ground. Brought her home water to her. Listen to this, verse 22. And the king commanded that they should bring of the soil of Chittim in large ships. And they also brought stones to build therewith. And the builders built palaces for Yania the queen. And the queen became healed of her illness. Her constitution wasn't adapted to the other country. Okay? Verse 23. And at the revolution of the year, the troops of Africa continued coming to the land of Chittim to plunder as usual. And Zepho, son of Elivaz, heard their report, and he gave orders concerning them, and he fought with them, and they fled before him. And he delivered the land of Chittim from them. Verse 24. And the children of Chittim saw the valor of Zepho, and the children of Chittim resolved, and they made Zepho king over them. He's an Edomite, okay, remember? And he became king over them, and while he reigned, they went to subdue the children of Tubal and all the surrounding islands. That's be Tubal Cain, remember? Verse 25, and their king Zepho went at their head, and they made war with Tubal and the islands, and they subdued them. And when they returned from the battle, they renewed his government for him, and they built for him a very large palace for his royal habitation and seat. And they made a large throne for him, and Zepho reigned over the whole land of Chittim, and over the land of Italia 50 years. Did you catch that? The islands? And Italia? There's all kinds of islands in the Mediterranean Sea. And then they're talking about Italy, Italia. Whoa, you don't get that in the King James. Well, we have ended chapter 61. I have a little over 10 minutes, and I'm looking at chapter 62. And it's too big to do today, so I'm not going to get into 62. We'll get into that probably on Monday. We did good today. The chapters were short and just information filled. I enjoy this. I like this biblical historical stuff, because it gives you a background on why they did things and some of the quirks and odd things that these kings were into, why they were mad and all that stuff. In the next chapter in 62, five more of the original sons of Jacob die. Okay. Reuben, Dan, Issachar, Asher, and Gad. And in chapter, and Naphtali, Yehuda and Naphtali. And then in 63, Lehi dies. So they're dropping. They're getting old, you know. 129 years old. Yehuda. I mean, it's given their whole life, and now they're dying, and it's telling about their death. And Naphtali was 132. That's a lot. Lehi is 137. Whoa. And they're starting to go. And age is coming to an end with those. But we're still going to get more with Zepho. And a big battle with Midian and Moab. This is an exciting set of chapters. And it's just absolutely this is just marvelous. So we'll be starting in verse 62 as we watch the sons pass away. And it just sort of makes me sad, you know. These guys are monumental figures. Wow. The end of an age. Well, we're getting close to the end of an age here. We're watching history unfold as we speak with all the stuff that's going on with the same Edomite descendants, the descendants of these wicked people that have been against Israel all along. Well, it hasn't changed. Same old, still hateful. What do you do? You know, they're hateful. They hate us. And we're going to have another big battle with them. And Yahweh's hand will be with us, the faithful. He has taken small numbers like we have now, because a lot of our own people are not going to fight. They are mentally set that these Talmudists are God's chosen people. They can't believe the truth. They won't believe the truth. They're blind to the truth. They're digging in their heels. And there's nothing we can do except tell the truth. Those of them that will finally wake up and see will come over to our side, and they'll be part of the remnant. But most won't. So you better steel yourselves. We're gonna lose a bunch of people in the coming fray. We just are. You know, we are. It's always that way. There's a lot of Israel that's not going to make it. They absolutely refuse to wake up. And we can't force it on them. We can't. But I read scriptures and I preach, hoping that I will get to one or two, and some are coming over. They're trickling in. We're not going to have massive numbers like the enemy. It's going to be another Gideon routine with small numbers, the ones that are picked. And Yahweh's going to pick us. I hope he improves my health. I'm getting old here, folks. I'm in my 70s. Not a young man. I'm not ready to do a lot of stuff. I'm still recovering from what happened to me last October with the heart and all that. But he has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. He's given me enough strength to get back and work like crazy on EFR and do these shows. Oh, these are a joy to me. They are such a joy. Because I get to share all this stuff that I've learned over the years, and there's nothing I like better than going through the scriptures. It's always good. Well, I got less than 4 minutes, so I'll get into chapter 62 on the 12th. I'm going to get a lot of stuff pre-recorded because next month is going to be the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. And I'm going to be gone for that. I will be attending with the congregation here and people coming from other states, etc., etc. And a good time will be had by all. And we get to fellowship and hug one another and shake hands, do a little fishing. And praising Yahweh, and Brother Eli's going to be there. We're trying to get as many coming as we can. So praise Yahweh, and I will see all of you soon. I'll be doing shows this weekend with Eli, and praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.